Liz Barraza, a story in two parts. This is part two, Hope. This pain is part of being human. The fact that you can feel pain like this is your greatest strength. Thank you, Albus Dumbledore. We dance round in a ring and suppose, but the secret sits in the middle and knows. In the wake of the heinous and mysterious murder of Liz Barraza, the quiet community of Tumball was left in shock and in mourning, grappling with the unsettling reality that such a chilling crime could unfold in their midst. As the investigation into her targeted attack unfolds, the question on everyone's mind is, who could have harbored such malevolent intent towards a woman known for her kindness and love of all things nerdy? As investigators delved deeper into the lives of Liz and Sergio Barraza, they encountered a puzzling lack of motive. Everyone who knew the couple consistently described them as normal. Liz was universally portrayed as a compassionate and caring individual. Her character seemed incongruent with the notion of her involvement in such a shocking and violent episode. Liz Barraza was a woman of many facets. Her life was a rich tapestry woven with love and compassion. Her heart belonged to the Chicago Cubs, where the crack of the bat and the roar of the crowd held a special place in her heart. But her enchantment with magic transcended the baseball diamond. She was an unwavering devotee of the Harry Potter franchise, constantly immersed in the clash between muggles and the wizarding world through books, audiobooks, and films. A scholar in her own right, Liz pursued her education at Klein Collins High School, later venturing into the realm of higher education at Stephen P. Austin State University, before transferring just over 1 year later. It was at Sam Houston State University that her life would change forever. Here, amidst the hallowed halls of academia, she met Sergio Barraza, the love of her life. Together, they embraced new adult responsibilities as they adopted a dappled dachshund puppy, Diesel, who I mentioned in part one of this story. The culmination of her academic journey came in 2012 as Liz graduated from Sam Houston State University with a bachelor's degree in psychology. Her knowledge, a tribute to her curious and compassionate nature. Love continued to blossom between Liz and Sergio, leading them to exchange vows on February 1st, 2014, a union that would define their lives. In her professional life, Liz's talents shone at the Rosen Group, where she worked as a data reporter. But beyond her career, Liz was a vibrant spirit, a beacon of warmth, and a wellspring of kindness. Her legacy woven through her passions, her studies, her family, and her love continues to resonate in the hearts of all who had the privilege of knowing her. Remember, happiness can be found, even in the darkest of times, if one only remembers to turn on the light. The absence of shell casings at the crime scene led investigators to believe that the weapon used had been a revolver, further deepening the mystery. However, this posed a significant challenge in their efforts to gather forensic evidence. The perpetrator had left behind an almost barren trail, devoid of shell casings, DNA, hair fibers, or any other valuable forensic clues. The lack of evidence would prove to be one of the most formidable obstacles in the ongoing investigation, shrouding the case in an aura of perplexing mystery. Over the years, there have been reports suggesting that the shooter handed an item to Liz just before the shooting occurred. This item, which may or may not have been a note, is believed to have been found at the crime scene. It is important to note that investigators have not publicly addressed nor confirmed this rumor, leading to the possibility that authorities are keeping this aspect of the investigation confidential. One significant breakthrough in the investigation came in the form of surveillance footage from the neighborhood. The cameras scattered throughout the area played a pivotal role in establishing a timeline for the shooter's vehicle, a dark, older model Nissan Frontier Pro 4X. The vehicle's distinctive decal became a crucial identifier in the grainy footage. Police believed it to be a 2013 model or newer, unusual in a region dominated by Ford and Chevy trucks. Notably, this vehicle had appeared in surveillance footage the night before the shooting, potentially indicating premeditation or surveillance of the area. Additionally, the security cameras provided valuable insights into the individual responsible for the murder. Based on the footage, the assailant appeared to be a woman, suggested by her relative size compared to Liz and her gait, which seemed feminine. In an urgent bid to solicit information from the public, investigators swiftly released the surveillance footage in the hours following the murder. Their hope was that someone would recognize either the distinctive vehicle or the shooter, bringing them one step closer to solving the perplexing case. You can view this footage yourself on YouTube if you would like. A turning point in the pursuit of justice for Liz Barraza came during a press conference organized by Houston Crime Stoppers just days after the tragic murder. At this event, a $20,000 reward was announced, generously compiled by Liz's friends and fellow Star Wars cosplayers from the 501st Legion. It was a substantial incentive designed to encourage those with crucial information to come forward. For the first time, investigators and family members stepped into the public eye to plead for assistance in solving this case. From the surveillance footage released by the Harris County Sheriff's Office, several conclusions could be drawn about the unknown assailant. Firstly, they had driven a 2013 or newer Nissan Frontier, a detail captured by multiple cameras in the Barraza neighborhood. The original footage showed the individual parking across the street from the Barraza home, leaving the engine running as they exited their truck to murder Liz Barraza in her own driveway. Their movement in front of the idling truck's headlights indicated that they entered and exited through the driver's side door, strongly suggesting they acted alone. Typically, an accomplice would exit on the passenger side for a quicker getaway. As we outlined in part one, the truck had been observed driving through the neighborhood both before and after the crime. It had appeared in surveillance footage the night before the shooting and was also spotted driving throughout the neighborhood before Sergio's departure for work at 6:48 a.m. The motives behind these actions remain unclear, whether the assailant was waiting for Sergio to leave, or they were simply seeking a lone victim. The answers remain elusive. The mysterious shooter's physical characteristics and actions during the harrowing incident raised intriguing and perplexing questions for investigators. While some clues emerged from the surveillance footage, the identity and motive of the assailant remained a mystery. The ability of the shooter to swiftly sprint away from the crime scene indicated a level of physical fitness. Their quickness suggested that they were in good shape, a detail that could be significant in the ongoing investigation. This level of athleticism was not typically associated with elderly or out-of-shape individuals, possibly providing a glimpse into the shooter's physical condition. A significant challenge in establishing a comprehensive description of the assailant was caused by the clothing they wore during the attack. The individual appeared to be draped in a large robe, jacket, dress, or trench coat, making it difficult to discern their gender or any distinctive features. While some believed the shooter could be a woman due to their apparent feminine appearance as they approached Liz in the driveway, this notion seemed bizarre with the perceived impersonal nature of the attack. Female killers, traditionally speaking, often utilize more personal methods, making the use of a gun in such a quick and seemingly detached manner somewhat unusual for a female killer. Further complicating matters was the shooter's post-action behavior, which appeared more masculine. They used their right hand to grip the handgun and displayed minimum recoil after each shot, suggesting the use of a smaller caliber revolver. Their ease in firing with one hand indicated a level of familiarity and experience with firearms. The assailant discharged 4 rounds from point-blank range, using most likely a revolver. The initial shot pierced through the side of Liz's neck, continuing its destructive trajectory, ultimately striking the house after passing through Liz. Following this, 2 more rounds found their mark, lodging in her chest. The culmination of this tragic event was a final, fatal shot to her face. It is essential to note that despite any erroneous police report quoting an ER nurse stating 3 shots, in truth, 4 devastating rounds were fired, sealing Liz's tragic fate. It was at this point that their actions took on a more masculine quality. They swiftly turned and sprinted back to the idling truck, exhibiting a running motion characterized by long strides. Some observers noted the possibility that the shooter might have been wearing a wig during the commission of the crime, a detail that added another layer of intrigue to the investigation. The conflicting aspects of the shooter's appearance and actions deepened the mystery surrounding the case. Investigators faced the challenging task of reconciling these contradictory clues in their relentless pursuit of answers and justice for Liz Barraza. The enigmatic nature of the shooter's attire has ignited debates and discussion in online forums, further complicating the efforts to identify and apprehend the individual responsible for Liz Barraza's murder. The possibility that the outfit might have been a costume designed to obscure the true identity of the assailant has given rise to multiple theories. Some speculate that a man might have disguised himself in a feminine-looking outfit and adopted feminine traits to deflect attention from his true purpose or motive. Others entertain the idea that the individual could have been a woman wearing a distinctive or flashy outfit. The choice of parking across the street from the Barraza residence was a calculated move by the assailant, possibly chosen to remain hidden from neighborhood surveillance cameras. Positioned at an ultimate blind spot, the shooter stayed far enough away from security cameras to evade detection while also maintaining enough distance from the Barraza's doorbell camera to avoid being recorded. This meticulous planning allowed them to approach Liz discreetly and execute the crime with shocking speed and precision. In the aftermath of the bizarre and tragic shooting, authorities embarked on an extensive search for the dark Nissan Frontier that had been the perpetrator's getaway vehicle. They scoured the local area, attempting to collect footage from every available camera within a radius around the crime scene, The hope was to trace the path of the vehicle after the shooting, shedding light on the assailant's movements. This is how we could piece together the entire timeline of the suspect's vehicle, until it moved into an area lacking sufficient security cameras. By August of 2019, approximately 6 months after Liz's murder, it was reported that investigators were eagerly awaiting the results of a warrant that held the potential to break the case wide open. However, by January of the following year, on the first anniversary of the shooting, the results of this warrant remained pending, with investigators maintaining a tight veil of secrecy around its specifics. Speculation suggested that it might pertain to cell phone location data or traffic camera footage, both of which would require meticulous analysis and time. Harris County homicide detective Michael Ritchie emphasized the significance of this pending warrant, stating, "I feel that the results of that warrant will be critical in the investigation and most likely will expose a suspect and who's responsible for this." One of the more disturbing aspects of the case that investigators began to openly discuss was the assailant's return to the crime scene after initially fleeing. It was believed that the shooter circled back to ensure that Liz was truly deceased, without any possibility of her getting back up. But as Luke Skywalker once said, no one's ever really gone. The unnerving detail raised unsettling questions, particularly in regards to the nature of the crime and the possible motives behind it. Some theories even suggested the assailant may have been a hitman who needed photographic evidence of Liz's lifeless body in the driveway, a macabre reason for the assailant to circle back through the neighborhood. The mysterious and unsettling act of the shooter circling back to the crime scene after the murder has left investigators and observers alike baffled. Liz's father, Bob Newell, keenly grasped the significance of this act, and he stated, "Them circling back and driving back by the house literally a few moments later is proof there's something bigger at work here." Detective Michael Ritchie, who had been closely involved in the investigation, shared a similar sentiment when speaking with reporters. He theorized, "I feel they contacted somebody and said, 'Hey, the job's done.' And then that person said, 'Are you sure?' And they turned around and drove by the scene one more time." This chilling hypothesis hinted at the possibility that the assailant might have had a contact or accomplice involved in the crime, deepening the mystery surrounding the motive and the broader circumstances at play. The investigation into the motive behind this seemingly senseless act of violence had been a persistent challenge for authorities. While some speculated that it might have been a random act of violence perpetrated by someone prowling for a potential victim, the evidence pointed to a crime that was premeditated and targeted. The shooter's actions on that fateful morning, as well as their prior surveillance, strongly suggested a calculated plan. One of the key elements that perplexed investigators was the timing of the attack. The shooter had been driving through the sprawling suburban neighborhood on the morning of the shooting, specifically targeting Liz just minutes after her husband Sergio had departed for work. The garage sale she was preparing for was not advertised ahead of time or posted online. While Liz had posted signs for the garage sale that very morning, it was done just before Sergio left for work, making it highly improbable that the garage sale itself was the motive. And who kills someone over a garage sale anyway? What added another layer of intrigue to this was the detail that Liz's usual routine was leaving for work early in the morning to avoid Houston's notoriously bad traffic. The fact that she was still at home at the time of the attack raised the possibility that the assailant was aware of her plans that morning and knew where she would be. Liz had called in sick from work that day and had only shared details about the garage sale with a handful of people. The fact that the shooter waited for Sergio to leave before striking indicated an intimate knowledge of the couple's personal lives, a level of awareness that extended beyond mere happenstance. Furthermore, the fact that the shooter engaged in a conversation, no matter how brief, with Liz, just before the attack, raised questions about potential familiarity between the two. The context of their relationship, if any, remained a mystery that left investigators with more questions than answers. The case of Liz Barraza's murder continued to be a mystery, marked by its complex web of circumstances, motives, and actions that challenged both law enforcement and the public's understanding of the tragedy. The web of speculation surrounding Liz Barraza's tragic murder extended in various directions, with web sleuths and investigators alike exploring numerous theories. One theory that surfaced was the possibility of an affair involving either Liz or Sergio, but no concrete evidence emerged to substantiate such claims. Investigators delved into the digital lives of both Liz and Sergio, scouring through emails, social media messages, and phone records, but they ultimately found nothing incriminating. There was no indication of infidelity, nor any threats before or after the shooting. To the police, this meant that the motive for the crime remained a mystery and unrelated to the couple's relationship. Online discussions frequently centered on Liz and Sergio's involvement with charitable organizations like the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the 501st Legion. Some have wildly speculated that someone within these groups might have carried out the crime. And for this, I have another quote from Liz's cherished headmaster, Albus Dumbledore. "Curiosity is not a sin, but we should exercise caution with our curiosity." In a poignant interview with ABC 13 in January 2020, Liz's father, Bob Newell, expressed the family's bewilderment, stating, "The shock and horror of it makes no sense. We know it's not random, so the family waits. And when we learn who did it, we may learn why, but the why will never make sense." One of the most recent developments in this case occurred in January 2021, when police officials released a third piece of footage capturing the unfolding crime from a different perspective: the doorbell camera of Liz and Sergio's home. While the angle did not provide a clear view of the driveway or the individuals involved, it did capture previously undisclosed audio of the incident. The recording revealed that Liz greeted the assailant as they approached her in the driveway, saying, "Good morning," before the fatal shots were fired. Once again, you can find and watch this video, but even the audio is quite bad and muffled, much like the audio in the Delphi murder case of Abby Williams and Libby German. This greeting led investigators to believe that Liz did not know her killer and might have perceived them as a potential customer for the garage sale as they approached. This observation lent credence to the theory that the murder was highly premeditated, potentially involving a hitman. I must say, robbery was quickly ruled out as a motive, as nothing in the Barraza's driveway was touched, including valuable items for sale and approximately $100 in cash, which was to be used for the garage sale. However, it remained plausible that Liz had simply not recognized the individual from a distance, raising the possibility that the assailant, if known to Liz before the attack, may have been in disguise during the encounter. The audio captured by the Barraza's doorbell camera added a chilling layer to the case, providing a glimpse into the final moments of Liz's life. Detective Wallace Wyatt, the newest addition to the investigation team, offered his insights on the recording. He noted that Liz appeared to react with fear upon seeing the firearm, suggesting that she might have known her assailant or she was just afraid when the gun was brandished. The audio contained muffled sounds, likely indicating a brief exchange between Liz and the suspect. Then, the assailant fired 3 shots at Liz, causing her to fall to the ground, before they mercilessly stepped over her and delivered a fatal shot to her head. Sergio Barraza, deeply affected by the horrifying events that took place in his own front yard, made the difficult decision to sell their family home in the year following his wife's murder. Concerns for his own safety, as well as the emotional trauma of losing his wife in such a brutal manner, understandably influenced this decision. Speculation and online discussions sometimes led to suspicions falling on Sergio, despite his full cooperation with investigators and the absence of any evidence suggesting an affair or any inappropriate relationships at the time of the murder. It is essential to remember that grief manifests differently in individuals, and passing judgment on someone's behavior following such a traumatic loss is unwarranted. Law enforcement has continued to emphasize that no suspects have been ruled out, and their investigation remains open. In the years since Liz's tragic death, Sergio has taken steps to move forward while maintaining close ties with Liz's family. Sergio and Liz's dad took on a joint project, the creation of a Star Wars replica R2 unit dedicated to Liz, which stands as a testament to their shared memories and love for her, and her love of all things Star Wars. Liz was a beloved person to Peter Mayhew, his wonderful wife Angie, and their charitable organization, the Peter Mayhew Foundation. An endowment in Liz's honor was started at the Make-A-Wish Foundation, established by the Peter Mayhew Foundation. This endowment ensures that Liz's legacy will live on. We've included links to this endowment and the Peter Mayhew Foundation in our show notes. For those of you who are not familiar, Peter Mayhew was the actor who portrayed the fan-favorite character Chewbacca in all of the Star Wars films from 1977 through 2015. Peter and his wife Angie were lovely people that I had the great honor of working with during events for many years. Peter Mayhew passed away from a heart attack on April 30th, 2019, at his Boyd, Texas residence, just 3 weeks shy of his 75th birthday. Tragically, Angie Mayhew succumbed to complications arising from a double heart valve replacement surgery on April 1st, 2023, as officially announced on Peter's dedicated Facebook page. Liz's parents, aided by Detective Wallace Wyatt Jr., Andy Kahn from Crime Stoppers of Houston, and District Attorney Kim Ogg, orchestrated a GoFundMe campaign. Their collective efforts culminated in raising the reward for information related to Liz Barraza's murder by an additional $30,000. The new reward now stands at $50,000. This significant increase was publicly disclosed during a press conference held on January 25th, 2022, urging anyone with information to contact Houston Crime Stoppers at 713-222-TIPS. It is hope shared by the entire galaxy and the entire Muggle and magical worlds alike, that justice will eventually be served in the name of Liz Barraza. If you know something, anything, about this case, do your part to right a wrong. Your karma will thank you. But until that time, we dance round in a ring and suppose, but the secret sits in the middle and knows.
Today's episode of The Secret Sits was researched and written by the host, John Dodson. All episodes are engineered and mixed by me, Gabriel Dodson. Check the show notes for links to all of our social media. Email us at thesecretsitspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts.